for the players.
I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Max Cooper.
And this is For The Players, the pop culturist PlayStation podcast with over like 50 years of playing PlayStation and like 20 years in that games media. But I'd like to thank you for joining us in this PlayStation conversation.
This PlayStation conversation happens every Tuesday morning at 8 a.m. on podcast services, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and 9 a.m. on those YouTubes. If you'd like to take part in future conversations with us, you can. Come check out our socials, Facebook, Discord, Instagram, X. Those links can be found in the description below.
If you want to join the conversation as it happens, head over to twitch.tv/thepopculturist, where you can watch us record this show live, where you can jump in the chat and become part of the show. If you want to support the show, you can. Tell your friends, tell your family about this PlayStation pod. If you are listening to us on podcast services, be sure to give us a 5-star rating and a written review. Watch us on YouTube, be sure to like, subscribe, leave a comment below. I endeavor to answer every single comment. And if you want to support us financially, you can at patreon.com/thepopculturists. Man, happy long weekend, I'm sure. Fuck it, why not? Now, I was promised that we were getting, like, you know, holiday-themed Paul James, but not this week. He's already allied. He hung out with us for a little bit. Now he's too cool. Nowhere to be seen. That's that damn Padge. But fuck Padge, because Max is here. How are you, Max?
Yeah, not too bad. Sorry, I've got the giggles. I casually looked across my other screen and someone's advertising for what is supposed to be a barista, but they can't spell. Mm-mm. So they're looking for Batista that is willing to work in a food truck. And people are just posting just fucking memes of Batista trying to work in a food truck.
That's fantastic. I'm absolutely down for more Batista in coffee shops.
But no, I'm good.
Yeah,
good.
How's your long weekend?
I work today.
Yeah.
On a public holiday that is designed to allow the workforce to have a day of rest, yeah. I had to work.
It's Labor Day. Celebrate the 8-hour work day, whatever.
it was fine. I did some stuff for my uni course, for my course this morning, did some recording. And then we took the kids down to the beach. And then I felt like I got heat stroke, even though I didn't get sunburned at all, and then pass out on the couch all afternoon.
Nice. Yeah, you did message me earlier being like, I think I got heat stroke.
Ellie's full on sunburnt.
Ouch.
The kids are fine, though, which is good.
Nice.
But yeah, gnarly. What about yourself? What'd you do this long weekend?
We had actually a really, really solid weekend, actually. So I had my son. I normally get him until Sunday, but with a long weekend, I was able to get him an extra day because I was, I was very lucky that, well, let's get into that, that I had today off. I was like, sweet, excellent. I've got a public holiday off. Let's take advantage of this. I went to check my roster earlier to be like, what shifts am I working tomorrow? I'm like, hang on, I had a shift today at 1 to 4. What the fuck? Didn't get notified of it. And, you know, there was no notifications on my phone, nothing. I was like, that's fucking not good. But no one called me, no one contacted me, which leads me to believe no one noticed. I did send an email through being like, yo. But either way, that was at the end of all this. The actual weekend itself was fantastic. Like a Saturday, I did something that is going to be so adult. But as you know, as we are both adults, Max, and we are at that part of our life where there are some things that make us go, ooh, yeah. That's a good purchase. And that was new pillows. For the first time in like my entire existence, we actually went and bought proper, good, not from Kmart pillows. Because that's pretty much all I've ever used my entire existence. And what a difference. What a difference. In like 2 nights sleep. Yeah, in 2 sleeps already. So good.
I've been using like bamboo memory foam pillows since I was like 16. Fuck you.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. Like, you understand, like, the importance of a good pillow. And I'm finally, we bit the bullet. I've been wanting to do it for ages, right? But it was always just, it seemed like such, not a waste of money because sleeping's really important.
You just wait until like Harris Scarf has a crazy sale and you go in and get your, and you can get $100 pillows for like $20.
Yeah, but like I've never found them good, right? And then no one, whenever I've been like, hey, what do I need for my neck and shit? And the Harris Scarf's like, I don't fucking know. So we actually went to like a proper sleepy place and was like, hey, like, and they went, this one. And I went, sweet. And sure enough, exactly the one. Like, it's bizarre. Now, I'm sure I've discussed, you know, the medication that I use to help sleep. But, like, it's been fantastic as I lie in bed and I can feel the actual relief off my entire body.
Mm.
Like, I'm actually fully relaxed because everything is just sitting in limbo. Like, nothing is stressed, nothing is taut. And I'm like, wow. And then because I become more body self-aware, I can like feel the comfort and I just drift off to sleep and it's perfect and it's beautiful. It's beautiful. I couldn't tell you what it's made of. Don't know what it does, but it rules.
It does sound way more productive than my Saturday.
Yeah. Well, my Sunday, we've had a productive weekend, might I add. So this, and then Sunday, it was a little bit of a long weekend, get some shit done. So James luckily got out of doing all of it. So he spent most of the day just chilling around, playing games, relaxing. Where here we did the lawns, we did the hedges out that I say we, like myself, Phoebe and her parents were really super helpful. Did the lawns, did the hedges. We cleaned out the corner of the garage where the gym is, just to tie it up a little bit, get rid of some of the dust. I put up like all the pictures that I wanted to here in the office. So like they've always been in here. They've been like just stacked on the wall over there. And I'm like, eventually I'll get to them because I don't know how to put pictures up. And then we bit the bullet this week and I was like, you know what? Fuck it. I want to do it. And the main reason is because Phoebe's like, I don't like the 3M command strips. I'm like, that's fair. That's fair. I did have to repair the wall of my old house, but that other house was shit anyway, so it doesn't matter. But like, we like this house, so we want to keep it well. So we actually did it with proper hooks and shit, which we have permission to do from the landlord and the real estate, which Max, you don't have to worry about being a beautiful homeowner.
Yeah, we just put holes in our wall. Fuck it.
Just punching them, just like tearing new holes all the place. But yeah, so like in the space now, I've obviously got all this gaming shit behind me, and then that I'm gonna rejigger the set too. Like I've moved three times, so my place, your place. Oh shit! So originally it was my old place. When I moved to you, I built a little makeshift version of it, and then my other place, now where I am, and it's literally the same. I took photos and I rebuilt it exactly as I originally had it. But I'm thinking it's maybe worth the jigger. Like, no one can really see it in, like, the pod shot anyway. So it's mostly just for me, since we don't do the real wide anymore. So I might tinker with it a little bit. So I've got the gaming side. And then, yeah, on the wall here, I've got a big... for one of the DVD covers of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, they did an image of them as wrestlers. So I've got that big poster.
What? The wall of shame.
Yeah, it's actually the wall of wrestles. So I've got that one, and then to the left of that, I've got framed trading cards and posters from various promotions that I've worked at. I've got some comic book WWE art on another wall, and I have more DC comic art on my wall to my right. And this is from the recent DC KO run, where they've kind of integrated with a little bit of work with AEW. And they look immaculate. So to my right, I see hardcore luchador Batman and Superman doing a sit-down brainbuster on Darkseid. It's fucking sick. I it's one of those things. I've also allowed me to sort of clear the floor as well. There's just some boxes here from when I moved in, and I just haven't touched with it. I just haven't fucked with it. And I've finally done it. And it feels really good, Max. Like, I could, you know, no one can really see your background either, but I can see you've had a bit of a tidy up as well. And like, it just feels good to get the space clean. Like, I'm not a big clean freak kind of guy, but like, once I got into that swing of it, I was like... And like, the table's... like, Phoebe actually cleared the table for me and like, wiped it down. And then I, you know, took that as a motivation to clear some of the shit off this. So it feels... like, it feels invigorating in here at the moment, which is quite nice. It's quite nice. But yeah, outside of that, oh, and then today we took my son to a nearby mountain bikey sort of track thing because he's really getting into biking at the moment. It's a great way for him to burn off all his energy. So if it's near, it's kind of on our way to sort of the various workplaces that I go to. But Phoebe mentioned it. And I'm like, yeah, let's go check it out. It was dope. It was fantastic. I had a I cannot believe it was real moment today. A small child, probably about 8, comes in on his little orange, yellowy, gold bike, a little mountain bike. As he pulls up to the seated area, his front wheel just straight falls off, like cartoon style. Like, boom, boom. It bounced forward. It went down. And then he kind of went down, but like locked eyes with us almost the entire time. He's like, what the fuck? As we're looking at him being like, what the fuck? But yeah, just standing there, this young child, his bike literally fell apart in front of us. It was like a Tom and Jerry bit. It was dope. I really enjoyed it. The kid probably less so because his bike fell apart. But that was really good. And then, yeah, came home, played a bit more Requiem. That's what brings me to where I am now. During the week was mostly the same, just working and such. But one thing we did do that is probably worth knowing is Max and I did a little extra video this week, and it will be up on the pod feeds as well. Over the Christmas break, we were sent some cool tech to mess with. I was sent the Pulse Elite headset. That's this bad boy from PlayStation Australia to mess about with, as well as a keyboard, a mouse, and a headset from Electronic Rebellion. And I had these grand plans of doing like these videos, and Max goes, we're fucking podcasters, dude. Let's just do a podcast about it. I was like, shit, he's bang on. So we've recorded that. That will be going up later in the week. It will be, as I said, on the YouTube and on the feed. So I'd encourage you all to check it out for, you know, those that do listen and sort of like to see the things that we do, for two reasons. One, so that if it's good and you like what we had to say, the more views it gets, the more engagement it gets, the ability we have to be able to do something like that again. So that'd be really, really cool. But yeah, so from there, in a not very good transition, let's get into the section where we talk about what we have been playing. After 421 episodes, you'd think I'd have a better name for it. Like, we've got Inform the Players.
We could use the playlist, but everyone seems to be like,
yeah.
Everyone uses that.
But so also everyone does use What Have We Been Playing too. Yeah. Look, if I was creative, which I was, you know, over 430 episodes ago, we've had something cool, but I wasn't. All right. Before I completely just straight info dump on you, Max, about the WWE, let's jump back into Resident Evil 9. You have now rolled credits on it. As we mentioned last week, big thank you to the team over at Five Star Games here in Australia for providing us the review code for it. Last we checked in, Max, you were sort of in the third area, which you didn't want to discuss. Was that correct? Or was that... No, that was when we spoke yesterday. Where were you up to last week?
Last week, I believe I was just starting the second area.
That makes sense, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So for those playing at home, my total playtime was about 8.5 hours.
Mm-hmm.
The game does have multiple endings, but once you roll credits, it's like, hey, do you want to see the other ending? It's not going to matter. You won't lose anything that you unlocked by picking the other ending first. I'm like, okay, then show me that. And then it gives you another completion time.
Sweet.
So that was cool. Game's great.
Mm.
Game's great. So as we've spoken about before, as we've talked about, the game is essentially two games in one with playing as Grace and playing as Leon, whereas Grace is that tense, psychological horror thriller, slow, methodical gameplay, lots of puzzles, lots of hiding, lots of sneaking, and Leon's just, I'm gonna kick your shit in, all action, third person, over the shoulder, guns blazing. Great. I enjoyed my time as Grace far more than I enjoyed my time as Leon. I preferred those tense moments. Those, you know, am I going to be able to pull this off with next to nothing available to me? Can I sneak past this thing without it catching me? That was where I enjoyed most of my gameplay. Mm-hmm. Not to say that I didn't enjoy my time with Leon. How they sprinkled them through and how they kind of separated them up and how you played them over the course of the full game, I think was very well balanced. None of them was overly long. Where, you know, in the first half, you predominantly play as Grace with a few sprinkles of Leon. In the latter half of the game, you kind of predominantly play as Leon with a little bit of Grace sprinkled in. And then you kind of back and forth for that end piece, which is really nice. I hope moving forward that this is the way we get our Resident Evil games. I think they can cater to both parties of we want more action over more horror or vice versa. And I think they've shown that brilliantly here with Requiem.
So I am completely there with you. Now, I'm not at the end of the game yet. I am about 50%, 52% according to the PlayStation flaggy dicky thingy. I've put God knows how many hours into it. I've not actually been counting. And I think the counter's off on the console itself. But I'm with you. The game is awesome to look at. It's so good to listen to. It's so fantastic to play. I feel that it really brings in, because if you think about like what are the best Resident Evil games, like most considered two, right? Leon Kennedy, right? That's who you're playing. And then you combine that with what rebuilt Resident Evil and made it into this rebuilt gangbuster of a franchise with Seven. And we're getting both of those in the same experience.
Yep.
Which just shows, even just shows the two different sides of what Resident Evil is and what it can be. And as you mentioned, like it does, at least in my experience so far, really nail that balance in that the compared to, say, Village, with its Carnival of Horrors sort of idea, with the, you know, each little individual segments, they're all sort of self-contained with a little open world. That was really cool, but I felt the narrative was impacted because they were more short burst stories with a little couple threads either way. Where here we're getting a full, like, sort of more linear narrative, but from two different perspectives, and it's fun to see those two perspectives collide, and literally in different perspectives. So there are moments where you cross paths, and, you know, as you do in, like, Resident Evil 2, and you're like, oh, man, you bump into Claire, and you're like, oh, you know, you've had this whole experience over this side while I have. Unlike Resident Evil 2, where you've got to play it once, and then you play it again, and, you know, it's not as simple as just the one experience. Mm-hmm. You get best of both worlds here. And I really appreciate that a lot. We discussed it last week, how the Leon sections really break up what could be the monotony of that really emotionally intense and strong and suspenseful first-person experience. Because if I think back to Resident Evil 7, that game was fantastic. And however, the last section of the game, which was really action heavy, the whole boat segment didn't work as well. And it kind of, a lot of it came from, it felt, didn't feel good to do after what you've just played. Capcom have come so far from when they were shit and Resident Evil was looking to be like a dead franchise. And over the years, it has regained this love, this affection. It's gained new fans like myself. I said I was always a Silent Hill kid growing up, but now I'm firmly in Resident Evil. Because whether it be, actually, near every experience that I've had since jumping back into the franchise, because I did play 4 on PS2 many, many moons ago. But from my return to the franchise was 7. So 7 through 2 through 3 through 8, through 4 Remake, through 9. Every game is so fucking good. Like, I remember, I think Village was my game of the year that it came out in 2021. And it wouldn't surprise me as of right now. So I've not finished it, and I will be finishing it by the end of the week. I hope that my sentiment stays the same, and Requiem will be in my game of the year conversation come December. Because right now it's certainly feeling that it's there. Just the experience is awesome. And I like that I still get, particularly in the opening section, which is more of your traditional Resident Evil experience, but also you just got hard blinded by something.
Yeah, Jesus Christ.
What was that?
I don't know. My screen just flickered white. Oh.
And now you have epilepsy.
Yeah.
What a horrible way. But yeah, like, I'm still getting those aha moments because, you know, the sort of Metroidvania backtracking of it all is really cool. And like now, this other section where, as you said, where you play predominantly as Leon, this is a bit more go here, do that, do this. And it's less backtracky. It's more direct. And it's still just as enjoyable because the fun's coming through... just the gameplay in general. And Leon's fun. And the quips are cool. And Victor Gideon, who's the, you know, you see him in all the trailers and whatnot. He's interesting. Another individual has joined the picture. It looks to be the bad, big bad. Look, knowing Resident Evil lore, which I did do a deep dive on earlier in the week, by the way. I sat down and I watched, here's everything you need to know about. I watched two of them. Because the first one was truncated. And they're like, well, we didn't count any of these things. And I was like, all right, well, give me the full... lore breakdown. So now I have a much better understanding of like Umbrella and the mold and this and that and how that person connects to this person and, you know, blah, 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 blah. So like I'm all fucking prime resied right now. It's fantastic.
You got to remember that Leon's still got the lust plug us in him from 4.
But no one says anything about it.
Yeah, right.
What I'm really interested in doing actually, because I played 5 once with a long time ago friend of ours, Will. Good old Wilbur. I played it once. Didn't think too much about it at the time. Never touched 6. And I know that Capcom are actively rewriting history when it comes to 5 and 6, and kind of, you know, with the idea is these remakes will kind of rewrite the wrongs of those previous games. Like, I don't see a Resident Evil 5 being a remake in the next 3 years. We're probably going to get, like, I don't know, the other ones. The ones that I also have certainly not played. So I'm kind of debating, do I go play 5? It's on PS4. I can play it on my PS5. Like, even just for, like, I think if anything, it'll reaffirm how far Capcom have come.
Look, Resident Evil 5 was fine. 6 was objectively a fucking bad game, though.
Code Veronica, in the chat, Mute says, still need a Code Veronica remake. That's the other one I was thinking of. Like, I couldn't fucking tell you what it is or what happens or who's in it. But that one I hear a lot, and that's the one I hear pretty consistently. And 0, yeah, that's the other one, I guess. I did buy Resident Evil 0... back in 2021, because I wanted to play Resident Evil 4 again. So I bought 4, and then I'm like, that was dope. And then I went and bought 0, and then didn't play it.
Oh, that's right. Mute's in the chat. 5, punch a rock. It's when Chris Redfield goes all Hulk mode and punches a fucking rock for no reason.
He punches a rock into a volcano.
Yeah.
I never saw it. I want to play it. It sounds so stupid. So stupid. But do you think that... there's a high chance that Requiem could be in your Game of the Year considerations, Max.
Look, there are... considering the fact that we punish ourselves and only put 3 games in our Game of the Year...
No, it's 5.
We did 3 last year.
No, we did 3 last year because last year did not give us 5.
Well, that, and we had an extra person on.
Yeah, also true.
And I've got a lot of Souls likes coming out this year. But yeah, as it stands right now,
from the three games we played this year, like that are Game of the Year contendery.
Yeah, well, considering the fact that two of the games before this that I've played were games that came out last year,
because
they were part of my back catalog over Christmas, which was Dragon Quest and Octopath Traveler.
Mine's Yakuza Kiwami. Like, that ain't winning.
So, yeah, as it stands, Resi is a front runner, but I mean, Crimson Desert is like a week away.
It sure Ghost is.
Yotai Legends comes out in like 2 days' time at time of recording here. Like, it's just, we've got Wolverine still. We've got.
I say that like with, you know, where we sit now, this very
currently,
moment. In
time. If the year was to end right now, yes, Resident Evil would be my game of the year.
Yeah, I'm expecting mine to change, but I think it will be certainly in that conversation.
I think Saros may come in and just kick the shit out.
Yeah, it does. For you, that does make sense.
Yeah.
Not so much for me yet, but.
Probably from a gameplay perspective, not from necessarily a story perspective. Unless Saros' story is just incredibly good. The story of Resident Evil 9 is quite good.
Well, in order to understand the story a bit better, I dove back into Marathon today. Not to play any of the game, because I'm like, well, I don't fucking know what any of this is. Or it says,
I played one round today, because after you said what you said earlier about reading the menus, I'm like, I should probably put some time into it, and I just played around.
Yeah, so that's exactly what I said to you, because that's exactly what I did. I just literally went into the menus and I went, let's look at everything. And let's gauge what the fuck is happening.
Then your retina's burnt out, and then you...
Yeah, and then I suddenly, you know, horrible... It'd be suck if you were, like, blue-green color, which I am kind of blue-green colorblind, but a different kind of way. Like, if you were, like, primary colorblind, because there is just nothing but primary colors blasting your face at any given moment. And it's just red, blues, and greens everywhere. I am no further aware of the story, Max, but... Yeah. I have a little bit of more awareness of like what the items look like and like, okay, what that does and what this does. And so if I was to go into a run, I would be in a slightly better position to understand like, oh, that's that. I don't need to pick that up. I can grab that. I should, you know, but even then it's still early days from, you know, the bit of time we spent with the service lamp. I don't like the shell selections. There's not one that I think matches my playstyle. Which is, I kind of just want like damage, right? Like, I don't want to be a heavy, and like the first one is a heavy. Then you've got like your tactical, you got a medic, you got like a sniper and like an assassin. But no, just a damage.
I would argue that the first one is your damage one.
Yeah, but then I have to tank. I have to tank too. I just want to attack.
Well, it's not. I wouldn't call it a tank. I would call it the juggernaut. Well, I mean, juggernaut's a bit of a loaded term because you would normally think of tank with it. But
the fact that my special is ultimate. A big shield tells me that you're a tank. You're there to tank damage. People can hide behind you.
But your ultimate is. Every time you shoot bullets, you also shoot homing rockets at people.
You know who has tanks? You know who has missiles? Tanks.
So does Iron Man. Iron Man also has a shield.
Fuck, that's a good point.
I wouldn't call Iron Man a tank.
Fuck, you got me there. That's that. Well done. You absolutely out-logicked my shit logic. Thank you. He's more of a tactician.
And the shield is not used for defense. It's used for pushing.
Oh.
It's used to, because the way that shell works, its double jump is a forward propulsion. So you shield up and you propel into them and damage them with that shield. I'm pretty sure is how it works.
Okay. Well, that tells me that the game did not tell me that.
Ready to just go.
Or I didn't read it. which is very likely.
Or I'm just wrong, and I'm playing it wrong.
No, but if that's working for you, then that's kind of what it does. And
everyone thinks it's a tank like you, and doesn't expect the moron to fucking rush them with the shield up.
That's also true. That's a good tactic.
Keep on their toes.
There is sort of no like tutorial or onboarding, right? Like,
you do a really shitty intro mission.
Yeah, which is just run to here. Have difficulty reading the environment because it's all bright colors, but it's raining and nighttime and lightning and it sets it up in such a way that it wants you to. It's like you got to fucking panic. Shit's going down. So from an onboarding experience, you don't have time to sit and tinker and like, what's this? What? How's that? What am I picking up? And like, that's probably unideal. But I ended up going with the double jump power up person. I haven't played with them yet, but that seems like kind of my way of playing because they have missiles as well, I think.
I didn't mind that, but that seemed more to me anyway, the fact that it was a vertical double jump that you were supposed to just essentially be flanking constantly and like double jumping up and over and then coming back in from behind.
Yeah.
But that's,
sort of Twitch play, which is not how I play anyway. So I might have to just end up going back to old tank, but no tank. Why are you being blasted so hard with the whites? What's going on?
Oh, I got an email about, I got distracted on an email about Crimson Desert and apparently play on.
I'm trying to work out if
PlayOn are actually publishing Crimson Desert or not.
Oh.
And PlayOn's website is
like Australia, is PlayOn Australia?
Yeah. It's butthole to navigate. I can't work it out.
Hang on.
And so yeah, just,
you went back in.
Despite the fact that I've got a thing for Chrome that makes everything permanent dark mode. Some stupid websites flashbang me on entrance. I went back. So I hadn't played since the end of the Service Slam. And thank you, ma'am. So I booted it up today shortly after you said, hey, I'm, you know, reading all the menus. I'm working out what I have to do. I've decided that I'm going to check out the colorblind options and maybe change some of the color palette around so it's not as high vis and visual noise, as I called it last time we spoke about it.
Which is a very accurate way of explaining it.
So Bungie have come out and explained some of the reasoning behind their choices of like loading screen videos, like the moth eating the random thing, how it's supposed to show like the emptiness of the shell and how your mind is cocooning in the shell and all that jazz. Mm-hmm. And I'm not quite sure if that's what I didn't think of that straight away as when I saw it on the screen. I'm like, what the fuck is this? I said this to you the other day. So shortly after the service went live, I believe they released their roadmap and they're like, hey, the first two seasons are going to be this kind of stuff. This is what we're going to release. And then they did at the start of each season, we are going to wipe everything.
Mm-hmm.
And that instantly kind of turned me off.
None of PlayOn's recent social media posts have been about.
Yeah, that's fine. I may have just gotten my.
That's right. Either way, yeah. Sorry, keep going.
So when I saw the announcement of we're wiping everything on a season by season basis, I'm just like, I lost all interest in playing it long term because I'm like, what's the point of going through all the effort to collect all this awesome loot just to have it stripped from me in 2 months' time or 3 months' time?
Mm.
To which your response was, it's good for the people who bounce in and out of the game. They get that level playing field for the first couple of weeks.
Because I think the big example in the looter shooter space is Tarkov, right?
Yeah, and Tarkov resets, and that's the reason why I don't play Tarkov.
And but if they didn't reset, no one could play Tarkov.
Mm.
So like what I was getting at was someone like myself who doesn't really jump in often, it would give me an excuse to go back in and say, oh, we've added this and it's something cool. We've added a new shell. I'm like, oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, for sure. And from that perspective, I understand that that's probably the way to play it.
Yeah. And because as of right now, like I haven't seen any like crafting yet. Granted, very limited experience. So like it's just shit you find anyway. And then I imagine environmentally you'll start learning where the boss is and where this area is so that you kind of just head there knowing full well that you'll be able to get this loot that spawns there presumably. Like I imagine that is because there's not, you know, it doesn't seem to be as, it's still random, but not as fixed as say Ark where it's like, hey, you want medical shit? Go here. If you want this, go here. But I think that may be in the environment, but it's just not pointing to it the way Ark would.
And like, I'll bring it back to my favorite extraction shooter, which was DMZ in Call of Duty. They did wipes.
Yep.
They reset progress. Didn't bother me as much.
Mm.
So I don't know. Maybe I'm a bit full of crap, bit of a hypocrite. But
oh, I'm hypocrite all the time. No,
for whatever reason, as soon as I saw that, I kind of just went, ugh. I just hate having things taken away from me once I've like worked, and especially in an extraction shooter where it's like I have to beat everyone else to get out, or I have to get out without anyone else noticing, and then the game's like, oh, your time's up, sorry, and then everything goes anyway.
Yeah, and because we were discussing this as well, and I do think with like the way my brain works, my brain doesn't work in the same way, in that like that carrot on the stick isn't there for me. Like I need that objective, and like there's the contracts in the game, but so far the contracts feel just go and shoot a thing, go collect a thing. And like, that's what these games are, right? It's the same as MMOs. It's, you know, it's bizarre, as we discussed before, that Elder Scrolls Online connected with me in such a way because those mission designs aren't there for me. We're like The Division 2 plays very much like a looter shooter, but because I played it solo, it's a full campaign. It was a story the whole way through, and I really dug it, and that's what propelled me to want to get more gear, to want to find it, grind it, get the better one, compared to, you know, just the idea that there's a better gun somewhere. Makes sense, I think?
Yeah.
Yeah. Before I jump into the big boy that I've been playing this week, I want to jump into an interesting one.
Okay. I solve my riddle.
Yeah.
Playon is handling the worldwide physical distribution of Pearl Abyss. This is Crimson
Desert.
Thank you.
No worries.
So that doesn't help me.
Max, do you remember a game on PlayStation VR called The American Dream?
No, the only game I remember with American Dream is, as a title or a tagline, is I think an Alan Wake expansion.
Maybe I'm thinking of the wrong game.
Although I think that's an American Nightmare.
Yeah, it is actually the American Nightmare. Am I getting it right? It is called, yep, bang on. The American Dream, made by Melbourne developer Samurai Punk. So it's a VR game. The major premise of it, its big selling point, is how the old Americans do love them guns. So you follow, it's an on-rails shooter where the idea is that everything you do uses guns. Like it shows you as a baby, you know, but you know, your parents are feeding you food, not from a spoon, but from a gun. You know, it's just everything must be shot or gun related for it to fit. As you know, Max, I do love my simulator games. And one of the games I really enjoy a lot, and it's one of the games I play with my son, is Fast Food Simulator. Now, the one that I play, Fast Food Simulator, is a much more realistic sort of design, which is bizarre for someone who spent 5 years working in fast food and hated it. But I saw this on Keymailer, and it caught my attention because it took a bit of simulator love that I, you know, simulator love. but then added a twist to it. It is called simply American Fast Food Simulator, and in the vein of American Dream, everything is done with guns. It's so dumb, and it's kind of fun. So it's predominantly like a physics-based game. With it being a simulator, it's all very much like conveyor belt sort of... what's it called? Not a conveyor belt, like a production line. Mm-hmm. But, so yeah, you have three guns available to you. You have like an assault rifle, which is kind of your all-rounder. What you can use that one for is that you can shoot at items to help them move. Or like, you know, if you're going to ricochet off a wall and it'll be able to move the items as you needed. They have a handgun. The handgun is used to flip items, hence flipping burgers, etc., etc. And then you have the shotgun. And the shotgun is designed to launch things, to pick them up off the ground. So if you shoot an item off the table, shotgun it up, shotgun it again, to double barrel, up, and it can give it some distance. The physics in this game are relentless. Like, what should be simple seems really difficult. And in the same vein of like, Overcooked, like, you are going to get angry because it is a multiplayer game. So I played it with my son and my good friend Craig, and the three of us played it together. You know, because the three of us have been playing the other fast food simulator game. Like, this makes sense. This is fun. It is in a demo state at the moment. My son did have a lot of technical issues. He kept dropping out for no reason, and we couldn't quite work out why, because he was here in the house at the other end. You know, he was still connected to the same internet. It seemed to be an issue. I had none. I think the only difference being mine was network cabled, where his was wireless. But he's right near the router, so that shouldn't be an issue. The style of the game is fun. It's really cartoony. It kind of feels like, to go with the American theme, Max, you've been... When was the last time you went to, like, Wet n' Wild? Not Wet n' Wild, Movie World in Queensland.
Never.
No, okay, shit, that doesn't help. There's one of the rides is, like, this big... It's the Wild Wild West is the name of the ride. Mm-hmm. It's a big log ride. But as you sort of head into the whole district, it's very Western themed. With a lot of, like, barrels and, you know, like, dead... skeletons and skeleton heads everywhere, that side of shit. So the game has that sort of aesthetic, because American, even down to like when cars come in drive through to pick up from you, they're just those, you know, flat, very Woody's Roundup from Toy Story 2, like comes in on the screen, drives off. So that's kind of fun. So there's no like real stakes that you don't really see any customers or anything. There is friendly fire, but it doesn't impact you because there's no health. It just kind of like shocks you for a second. As I always recommend, get a kid to play your game to QA it, because they'll find shit you didn't realize. James worked out that if you're holding the assault rifle and you're running forward and you press shift and then change your weapon really quickly, the guns just auto fire. So he's worked out just to like boom, boom, boom. And so he's just like, what happened? And his gun's just going everywhere. Like, oh, well done, dude. You broke another game. You're a ledge. But then you can easily just press shift and it goes away. I don't know what's going on with that. Silly little game. I said it is in demo. It does combine two of my silliness. I think if you really sat down and properly tinkered with the physics and really got used to it, you're probably going to have a much better time. Like, you're really going to have to think about your ricochets and that sort of stuff. And that does make it enjoyable. I don't know whether I mention this as well, before I jump into WWE. Steam Next Fest recently. I watched our good friend Jerdman play. He played a game called Rewind 99. It is a simulator game, as they all are. Except it's about you running a video store in the 90s, in the year 99. It is absolutely hamming up the nostalgia of the 90s as well. So it's not entirely the 90s as like we remember it, but it's like the amplified aesthetic, you know, real vibrant colors, etc. The videos as they come in, they're all like really, you know, simple redos of popular movies like The Codfather or Austin Trousers. Finding Emo was one. It's got a little picture of a clownfish, but he's all sad and emo-y on the cover, which made me chuckle. Illegally Blonde, you know, silly shit like that. So the novelty of that makes me chuckle. But the big mechanic is as you unlock, you know, you serve more customers, whatever, you start getting more XP, you can unlock more movies, more levels. Your competition in the world, and the world is massive, by the way, way bigger than it should be in like for a demo, because I'm like, I don't know how the hell we're going to experience all this world at a later date. You have to go and beat up, remember those old, disc rentals used to be at supermarkets? Yeah, you have to go beat them up. I mean, you beat them up and then you nick their movies. So that's how I got like a bunch more movies to then go and sell on my shelf, which then got me to the next level, which allowed me to order those things. Multiplayer as well. So Craig and I were playing it. I think it's dope. Very keen to when it comes out, right up my absolute alley. Really enjoyed it. But talking about right up my alley, let's get into the big one. Because I haven't done enough talking today. Thank you to the team over at 2K Australia. I mentioned it at the back end of the show last week once I reread the guidelines for the embargo. For the last week and a bit, I have been playing WWE 2K26. Shock horror to no one, because who the fuck would have thought that I'd really want to play a WWE game? So I did get it a little bit ahead of the early access. We were very kindly given the Attitude Era edition, which is the Monday Night War edition, which is the big honking fancy pants one. So I spent a bit of time with it, and as I mentioned last week, I got a couple of DMs in my PSN and be like, excuse me, how are you playing 2K26 and how do you have the trophies? I'm like, I'm not fucking telling you, mate. I just didn't respond to them. I'm like, because I had the game early. Duh. Like, is it an exploit? Are you, like, looking at something? I'm like, nope. I'm not going to tell you.
Exactly like your friends.
Was that, sorry?
I said, so you treat the strangers exactly like your friends. You just don't reply.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much. Because I can't send voice notes in the PSN. So, like, you know, it's very hard for me to reply to people. But, yeah, so it's given me a little bit of extra time to tinker with it compared to the average consumer. Originally, like, we haven't... The embargo for it was, like, Thursday last week. Didn't jump, had to have anything at it because... The review itself, I'm doing it with Craig for a couple of different reasons. His enjoyment of the game is very different to myself in that he really tinkers with different aspects. So for him, he spends a lot of time in the creation suite, and there's been quite a number of revamps to that space this year. So I'm really wanting you... Fuck, you're right. You just, well, you're funny, bone.
Did you hear that crack? I moved my elbow and I just hear this loud crack and pop as my...
No, I just saw a pained expression on your face. So he's going to really be able to deep dive into that side of it, which is really, really cool, where I can sort of, I have areas of expertise in the other bits, and then we'll come together and sort of have a nice collective review experience. Where do we start? Okay. Overall, we'll go quick overall points, and then we'll break down. But yes, you got a question?
Is it the Dragon Ball Z Budokai of WWE? Is there just like hundreds of characters that we initially thought, and they're all just reskins of the same person? Is there like seven Cenas?
I don't know about Cenas, but there are like 13 different CM Punks
throughout the ages.
Yeah, so a little bit, yes. When they're like 400 characters, and I was like, my suspicions were correct.
Every time they turn heel or face, they get a new character model. New character, it's like a big one.
pretty much. So overall, the game, when it wants to, looks awesome. But then other times, it kind of looks average. Like not the considerable improvement that you would assume. Where some models feel like they looked better a couple years ago, where some look immaculate. Like if you watch an entrance for like Roman Reigns or like Cody Rhodes or The Rock or any of your big hitters, you're like, Jesus fucking Christ. Sometimes I think I'm looking at the real deal. But then sometimes anyone lesser on like the rankings, you're like, "Ooh, you look like trash," in close up. And then when they play with the zoom out, you know, when you see it in the scope of the ring or whatever, yeah, you don't really notice it as much. It's just anytime they get anywhere near their actual face. So that's a bummer. The overall look of the game is a bit different. Phoebe and I were messing about with it the other day, and we're trying to find the right words. And the word that we sort of came together was negative space. In 2K25, there is shit everywhere. Like, even on the menus, there's like, you know, like the 8 blocks on the bottom. It's real kind of, you know, Netflix menu design. And up above it was like big, bright fucking pictures of people in action. It fills the whole screen. So there's a lot of shit at any given time. There is that here still, but they've ramped it down slightly. Like, the faces on the icons on the bottom, those little squares that I mentioned, little rectangles, they're in black and white. There is a lot more, yeah, negative empty space. So even like the showcase is a big picture of CM Punk, but there's a lot of empty space around him. And that, you know, but there's still the blue, the red, the white color scheme. There's a little bit of lens flares. They've really kind of fucked with the renders as well. They're really quite sharp from like a shadowing sort of point. They're really kind of dynamic lighting and color palette, sort of like, yeah, comparatively to previous years. And like, even in my GM, which I'm sure I'll get to more shortly, they've reallocated the way they show stuff. So some of it's a bit more of a list, which in turn has that more negative space feel, as they're like, it's not cluttered. The overall experience doesn't feel cluttered. There are, like, if you go into some menus, like the character menus or like the settings, like they're all pretty much the same. Like, they haven't really changed. It's just like the front facing stuff is a little bit prettier. There is an introduction of a new stamina system. It's a little purple gauge. So what this system does, it's essentially gasses you out, right? Like, if you, after getting blasted or after a flurry of attacks, if you keep rushing, you get hit with this purple stamina. And the idea is that during that purple stamina, you cannot reverse. You can't, like, the best you could do is that new triangle, like duck and weave that they brought in a couple years ago. But that is the best you're going to do. You are going to get pounded in some way, hot. I don't have an issue with it. As someone who literally spends his weekends calling wrestling matches, analyzing how they work, enjoying how a natural wrestling match feels and flows, it does allow for a bit more of that simulated experience to give you, like, you can't go super hard. You can't just go big spot, big spot, big spot, big spot. Because realistically, that doesn't work. You can go into the settings and jigger it and turn it down. I know it's taken people a little while to suss it out because it's kind of hidden in the menus. But for me, it creates an enjoyable experience. Like, I'm finding that I'm having more matches that make sense in the game than I've had previously. Like, even when I was playing some of the My Faction matches, which are just, I'm using just to build up XP for the Ringside Battle Pass, even those matches which are designed for me to just tear through to clear them out, like, they are starting to read more like matches. And I do think some of the AI has been improved as well to allow for these understandings as things can be sequenced together rather than move, information, response, right? It's, you know, makes sense, you know, from a delivery AI processing standpoint. It feels like it goes, oh, we can do this, and then it goes sequence, 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 and then reads it a bit better. So that I'm enjoying as well. Additionally, one of the big things they've introduced is altering the weapon damage. For someone like myself who loves their hardcore, their deathmatch, their a bit more violent wrestling, the changes here are sick. What they've done is they've included thumbtacks, you know, like pins. And the whole, so previously in game, in these games, the weapon damage was only impactful when you were holding it and or using the item. Once that item was discarded, even if it was a chair in the middle of the ring, if you landed someone on said chair, the damage was not altered. It remained the same as if you just threw them on the mat. By including the tacks, which by design are you pour them out into the middle of the ring and then they have to be a damage response from hitting them. They've expanded that understanding into every item. So if you're having like this big hardcore extreme rules match and the ring is littered with fucking tables and debris, like any bump you take, you are fucked. Like you are just getting the whole brunt of all those items. And that for me is really fun. So, like, there are really cool clips on Twitter because, additionally, to help sell those weapon damage more, they've included ragdoll physics for the first time in a long time. So, like, if you get yeeted off the top of an ambulance, like, you are going to flop and fall, and people have been doing things on social media. Like, I've seen, you know, Brock Lesnar suplex someone off the top of an ambulance onto the fucking well-placed stairs, and the model like bends over the stairs and kind of responds appropriately, and then very quickly the game goes back to normal, and then you see it kind of pop back into like its predetermined response, which is ironic for wrestling. So that does kind of change the dynamics of the game as well, as you know, you can have a bit more fun with it. At least I'm enjoying it that way as well. The soundtrack is fine. I know it's a big part of these games. There's a couple of throwbacks in there, like the old classic Union Underground. No, not Union Underground, sorry. Power Man 5000 When Worlds Collide. Very common wrestling new metal tune. California Babylon by the Transplants is in there. I really dig that song. I first heard that song on like an old Tony Hawk game, and it's always in my playlists. It's a Travis Barker drummed one. A little pop for me. During his independent run, CM Punk would enter to Killswitch Engage's This Fire Burns. That is in the game, which is sick. So I'm just adding that to like my rotations of songs because I really dig that song. Any bad things though? Like as of right now, the game plays fine. I've not had any major hitches, crashes, or anything.
You did mention to me that your biggest disappointment so far. You don't gain XP for the season pass when you play my GM mode, which is your preferred method of playing. If I'm correct,
that is correct. So we talked about this previously after I did with the developer roundtable. So this year they've, rather than the staggered, you know, quarterly essentially releases of DLC that they have done in the past, they've integrated a battle pass. In that, you know, there are 40 tiers, and the more you play, the more XP you get. You start unlocking stuff. Disappointingly, majority of the roster is locked behind the free battle pass. Now you can pay for skips. It's like $3 a skip. So if at 40 tiers, that's pretty brutal. There are ways to exploit it, which people have been doing now, as they've worked out how to do so. Like I'm up to like level 10 in it just by playing. But as you mentioned, I complained to you previously. I had hoped that the ringside XP would be impacted by all game types. And that's kind of at least what I felt that they were implying during that roundtable. However, in action, it's the island, it's Showcase, it's my faction, and I think it's Universe, which is most of the most of the modes. There's no RXP, so there's no ringside XP gained in just playing standard matches, which makes sense because you could just like specky that shit in such a way, be like, give me the most powerful, give me the most weakest, go in there, crank him, done, dead. The match takes 30 seconds, you've unlocked XP. So I understand that they're the modes that really, you know, that should reward the more you play, which is frustrating because that is what my GM is. I put, close to 200 hours into 2K25, which is not, I know it's not a lot for many, but for me it is quite a bit. because I spent all that time in GM with Phoebe and Craig. We have played, you know, the first couple weeks plus the pay-per-view in there, done the draft, no XP gains at all. Really disappointed on that. But I also understand that there's probably could, you know, exploit it there too. But there you can also exploit it with my faction and universe, etc. too. So I'm really confused on that. So that is probably like one of my biggest disappointments. But yeah, the game seems to be fine. No crashes or anything. I haven't really dicked about with online or any custom creations because they tend to break the game pretty quickly. So let's go into the individual section. Let's talk about my GM. So there's a couple of changes in my GM, which are great. They introduced three new match types, which is across the board, which is the three stages of hell, the I Quit, and the Inferno. The Inferno is like the idea is that there's a fire around the ring, and the longer you wrestle, the more intense the flames become, and then you win by setting the other person on fire. An I Quit, you submit them, you beat them to the point where they say they quit. A dumpster match is what you expect. You beat them up, throw them in a dumpster. The winner is the person who closes the lid with the other person inside. They have increased the number of wrestlers you can have in a match. Previously, the maximum was four. So the biggest match you could do is like a fatal four-way or a tag team match, so a two-on-two tag. They have increased it to five, six, and eight. So you can now have handicap matches. You can have, you know, like big honking multi-feud matches. You can have like all the heels versus all the faces, and you know there's four feuds going on, and everyone just blows, and it's just big blow off end of pay-per-view, you know, closure thing. It's pretty cool. In turn, because in order to cater to those increases, you need to have a much larger roster. So the budget's higher, whatever. Like, dope. Awesome. Couple of new GMs. They replaced Sonya Deville and Haliandro with Stacey Keebler and the anonymous GM, which means nothing to you, but they're just kind of the GMs you can play. No new promotions.
Do the GMs have essentially like...
They have little buffs. They have like power cards.
I was just saying, they have like hidden talents or something that would affect the way you would set up your shows?
Yes. So it'd be kind of depending on how you play. So
I'm trying to work out the correct term.
No. You're nailing it. You're absolutely nailing it. So yeah, cool. Like the example, there's like Tyler Breeze, right? His power card or his GM super skill thingy is that because they're now 50-week seasons rather than 25, four times per season, you can use a card that increases everybody's stamina by 12. So if you're someone that really like just smashes your fucking wrestlers and doesn't rest them properly, he is a great GM to have. There's another GM that, like, you know, all people you purchase this week from the talent pool, a half price. So if you're someone that likes to buy talent, great card to have. A bunch of the others are like really attack based. So if like, you know, because it is competitive, it's like, well, I'm going to attack this person and you can't use your, you know, best dudes, whatever.
Yeah.
So the anonymous GM, his power is that you randomly, twice a year, twice the season, you just get a random other superstar GM's power card. And Stacey Keebler's is twice per season, you pick a brand, they have to fire someone and they don't get any of the money back, and they don't get to pick who that person is. He's like, fuck you, you're fired. So sucked in. They just lose a player. Pretty brutal, but as you know, we don't play aggressive. We have an AI character that we annoy to offload those attack cards to. So those don't really change how we play. But yeah, that's cool. I'm enjoying it. We didn't complete auto draft this year. Normally we pick our own people. We just hold the game to pick it for us. Because knowing that it's going to be 50-week seasons, we're going to need to have a lot more people than we would normally feel comfortable picking. We just made the game do it for us. Mm-hmm. And I think after, 3 years, 4 years of playing GM, this is the closest, the next challenge that we could give ourselves without increasing the difficulty. So that seemed fun. Moving on from that, the showcase mode, which is the idea here is you're showcasing the career of CM Punk. The idea is that there are various matches that you're like, hey, this is a match that you get to relive because it was awesome. You get to change the outcome because why not? I didn't get to win. That sucks. And like, yeah, that's fine. I'm enjoying it. I'm like quarter of the way through it, third of the way through it. It's cool. It's fun to relive moments, especially someone that wasn't watching wrestling with a lot of those CM Punk moments. So that's kind of cool. My faction is more of the same. Unlike GM as well, which has also had this update, my faction now supports intergender wrestling. So, you know, you can match anyone up with anyone. In my GM, there is a penalty for it, as in both superstars earn less. Sorry, they use more stamina if they have an intergender match. And I believe that's the idea of just so you don't spam it or use it in a, you know, in like a, it like, it's an option, but it penalizes you, which I find really interesting because I like no gender wrestling personally. I think it's way more fun and more enjoyable experience. Haven't messed with the career mode yet because I needed to make a custom character, and I was like, well, I might as well use the character that I would use for my good friend Mad Dog's TCW Twitch promotion. I'm like, I'll make that, and then I'll play the My Rise. The Island, which is their online sort of NBA university experiency thing, is fine. Massively improved in some ways. There's like actual playable cutscenes and stuff now. It's all voice acted where it wasn't previously. I haven't really dived into it too hard, but like there's some good quality of life experience. They're just making a nicer experience overall. Is there anything else that I am missing? No, I believe that is all. Max, I assume you don't have any questions because you don't know or understand the WWZ.
To be honest with you, you actually pretty much explained everything really well. And the questions I had, I got to ask.
Oh, sweet.
It's still not for me.
Yeah, but again, nor would it ever be, I don't think.
I'm stoked that you're enjoying it.
Mm. But like, it's also the little things that I'm enjoying. Like, because it's now only on next-gen or current-gen consoles, like, it's not on PS4 or whatever, like, yeah, I can feel the computational back-end has kind of altered and it's gotten a bit better.
And you,
like,
you said you haven't really done any online stuff. Is it cross-platform or anything like that?
I don't believe so. I don't think... I know the creation suite is, which is controversial.
Not really, because I would imagine that when you create a piece of... thing, it would go to the like the 2K server and then you can just pull from that.
It's controversial because for the first time PC and consoles emerged and PC had a lot more freedoms because of modding, etc. So the whole creative mod scene has been quite heavily impacted. When the game is in motion, like, it feels more fluid. Like, it's not that it's running at a higher frame rate or anything, it just feels like it's consistent. The little trinkety little things they've altered, like belts move a bit more realistically now. Previously, they were just all kind of rigid and it looked like an action figure holding them. They didn't really bend or move or respond. Now they have a bit more like flex and bend. When you hold them up, they move around a bit better. Hair physics is a little nicer.
And I had an image of the conveyor belt came in my head. I'm like, that's what he meant.
A championship belt.
I realized that after I had my idiotic thought.
One of the little features they talked about was like entrances can be more interactive. You can kind of add pyro, you know, you can press it as you walk in. Mm-hmm. It is so basic. It's, you know, up is a face response, which is as of right now, everyone goes, yeah, that's it.
Oh, yeah. Again, a dumb thing popped into my head. Not a facial response.
You even use face and heel before as well, which is interesting.
A good person response.
Yeah. Or a bad person or a heel response is just them going like arms out sort of thing. And then the pyro is
not them just looking fucking shocked that they've got pyro or something. No. It's like,
so yeah, and then it's very quick. It's like, and then they go back to their regular motion. The pyro is like, it's just this one boom on the stage. It's not very exciting, but you can time it right, and it's pretty cool. Yeah. The other is flame, so on the corner of the ring post, and it only goes for like 2 seconds, and then there's a slight cooldown, then you do it again. So it doesn't really add a kind of the level of customization that I would have wanted.
Are there any Riz points for doing that in like jam mode?
No.
Be like, he had a fucking great entrance. He gets an extra 100 style points or something.
Nah.
Is that not how it works?
None of that. which would make sense, but no. The other thing which James and I messed about with was really fun. When you're playing, I assume it's in universe and whatever as well, but when you play like the one-on-one, you can choose how the match starts in that. Do you, you know, as the wrestler, they ring the bell, do you walk in and you shake hands as a sign of respect? Do you kind of work the crowd to get their energy up, or do you just bum rush the other person? So depending on how you want to play or the storytelling that you want to have, if you're doing some fun with it, you could be like, no, no, fuck this. You know, that's kind of fun. Adds a little bit of customization to it. Reverend Puck in the chat goes, it's going to need the Danhausen single poof of smoke, which I'm sure will come because it's essentially a single poof of fucking pyro. It goes poof, and it's really unimpressive. Yeah, more to come in that as we play. I know I said I was going to do a big deep dive review with Craig, and we are now 25 minutes later. So my bad. But so let's quickly get the fuck out of that now. But big thank you to 2K Australia. I am really, really enjoying it. I probably would have spent more time with Rezzy had I not been playing a lot of WWE.
It's all right. We got Rezzy and WWE on pretty much similar times. And I'm like, I know which game I'm playing. We know which game you're playing. Divide and Conquer.
Because that happened like that was Returnal and Village X amount of years ago.
Yeah.
Same thing. But all right, that's enough of that. Let's get into the section called Inform the Players, where we tell you about what happened this week in PlayStation, not just whatever random ass games we've been playing. Quiet week this week, which is nice, hence why we're a bit more like free-flowing at the beginning. But where are we starting today?
Let's start with the possibility that there will be no delay for PlayStation 6. So in the aftermath of Project Helix's announcement earlier this week, notorious hardware leaker Moore's Law is Dead has reiterated he believes that the PlayStation 6 will actually launch in late 2027. There's been a lot of speculation recently suggesting Sony may push back the unannounced platform, potentially into 2028 or beyond. Most people on the internet felt that they should wait as long as 2030, feeling that the PS5 hasn't reached its full potential yet. With rising RAM and storage prices repeatedly being cited as reasoning behind the rumored delay, but Moore's Law is Dead, who claims to have seen various manufacturing documents, believes it would cost the company more to pull its contracts with manufacturers like TSMC. He does propose a delay into early 2028 could be possible, as that would allow it to build up inventory and honor its existing contracts, but he doesn't believe it'll launch much later than that. As for the console itself, in comparison to Project Helix, the hypothesis is that it will be significantly cheaper than Microsoft's machine, but slightly less powerful overall.
I think this significantly cheaper is probably the big, big thing to pay attention to here.
It depends. Yeah. So the rumored Project Helix cost is $1,200 to $1,400, I'm assuming USD, which means significantly cheaper. It needs to be like $600 USD, which is still like $1,500 bucks here.
Yeah, rad. But like but $1,500 USD is like two and a bit, you know, like that's a fuck. There is no way I could rationally think about paying that much for a console. That's fucked.
No,
that's
that point I'd just be buying a PC.
Pretty much. Do I think that PlayStation are making massive decisions based on this new Project Helix? No, not really. I don't think it alters too much. But
of course they have. They've literally stopped their entire PC PC line.
I don't think it's connected to that at all, personally. We discussed it last week, didn't we?
To a degree.
I'll touch upon it again shortly, but I don't think it's like as immediate responsive to that. I do agree though, and it's not, and admittedly it's not something that I had considered, and it makes complete business sense. Pardon me. If they were originally planning to have everything come out next year, there would be contracts and pipelines in place and you know, the production of these chipsets to be this at this date. Because those chipsets, whatever's being made, they will not be good come 3 years from now. They would work, but they would not be to the specs or to the caliber of what people would expect in 3 years from now. So correct. If those agreements are in place, it would make complete sense that they can only delay it slightly, but not like impactfully. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So, like, I'm as we discussed before, would I get a PS6 if it comes out? Yeah, sure, because I like new shit and I get excited. Do we need one? I don't think we need one yet. I think that, you know, with the Pro and its increased PSSR, like, I think there's a lot more room to grow there, and that can help fill in truly in a way that that a Pro iteration of a console should do. It helps bridge that gap a lot smoother. And I feel that with the ability to do the PSSR2 and whatever, it's going to help. Now, of course, the Pro itself does still have a threshold of what it can deliver. It is greater than the ceiling for the PS5. But this, yeah, I think the Pro is doing what it should do, I hope, anyway. All right, we touched upon this last week, but let's go into it a little bit more. As part of a wider story on Sony's decision to pull back PC ports of its single-player games, it has come to discussion this week that the planned versions of Sarost and The Ghost of Yotei have been scrapped. While the former isn't even on the PS5 as in Saros, it was likely up to a year away. It's possible that Sucker Punch's sequel, which originally released last year on the 2nd of October, would likely have launched on storefronts down probably winter our time. Citing sources familiar with the matter, Bloomberg journalist Jason Schreier says that PlayStation has pulled the plug on all these first-party ports within the last few weeks, so it's a relatively recent strategy change. We still don't really know the reason behind this decision, but it sounds like sales haven't been meeting expectations and the platform holder wants to put it in its own hardware first. After all, exclusives exist to attract players to an ecosystem where the bulk of the manufacturer's money is made. Bam. And that is where I jump in, because my belief here is that it's more around the disruption in the market of PC of computing parts and their explosive exponential cost. That is where it lies, because buying a PC right now is exorbitant. But if they can, like, you know, not that many people were buying PCs to play these games anyway. It's more of, if people want to play these games, they now have to buy a console, which is staggeringly cheaper in theory than a PC. What they are doing is they are just honing that focus back over to the console. Is it in preparation for a potential resurgence in Xbox? Maybe. I don't see them having a resurgence. I think the brand's pretty dead, and it's going to take a lot of work to bring it back. But is this, are what they doing the steps in the right direction? Absolutely. I think the decision is greater because of the market, not because of the introduction of Microsoft's new staff, new leadership, I should say, etc.
So, according to Newzoo, who did some analytics on PC player count for PlayStation stuff. So, Newzoo's data shows that PlayStation titles ported to PC after their console launch typically see PC account for around 13% of total players in the first 3 months across both releases. By comparison, when comparable AAA titles launch simultaneously on PC and console, PC contributes closer to 44% of players in the same period. Newzoo does note that this phenomenon is not exclusive to Sony's first-party titles, but also applies to other timed PlayStation exclusives, and cites the likes of Final Fantasy 16.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, who would have thought the people wanted to play it? You know, wanted to play it when it came out. Like, this industry is built on immediacy. You know, that you want to play it then, there, and there, and that's kind of like it.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. So, like, that makes sense. But maybe it's more of just, we gave it a shot. You know, if we think back, however many years ago when they did a projection, they thought they wanted to make X amount of bajillions of dollars from PC, and they are not making that at all.
My main concern now is, what does this mean for Nixus?
That is the follow-up question.
Who was acquired to be like the PC port lads?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what are they going to do now?
Well, you know, Blue Point were hired to be the remake guys, and they ended up not doing remakes. And so maybe Nixus get rejiggered. They get sold off.
They get nixed.
They get nixed. You know, like it's interesting, right? And it's the same. It was something that was brought up this week, and it finally put words to sort of what I was thinking around it. So, like, the Blue Point and Nixus, they are built for their technical knowledge, right? Not their creative design, like their technical knowledge. So the idea of giving
support studios.
Yeah, but in like a different way. Like with Blue Point, they're like they have creative talent, but it's more to replicate or to improve something that's come before. It's not to start from scratch. They don't need like original concept-y people. It's like, what do we got? How do we make it better? So they're good at revising and updoing. Where Nixus are in that space of we're gonna build it. So conversion, thank you. You know, so with that less, with the no need to convert. But even then, Blue Point were hired with the presumption to do one thing and they've been forced to do the other. At least with Nixus, they have done PC porty shit. They're doing the upcoming Death Stranding 2, but that's a second party thing, not first. So that, yeah, in a world where like a studio's like Blue Point, but now in hindsight, you get a bit more information, you're like, okay, maybe you guys just had no idea what the hell's going on. Nixus potentially don't have long.
Okay, well, riddle me this, Ryan.
Shoot.
It's business as usual at Sony, but it's not the one that's reported on the cancellation of PlayStation games being ported to PC. However, the same day that it's reliably suggested that all single-player first-party efforts will no longer appear on PC, it's interesting that Sony has advertised a new PC-ready controller bundle. So in reality, this is just a normal black PS5 controller bundled with a USB cable to let you connect it to a computer. However, select regional PlayStation social media accounts have started advertising it at a price of $74.99 US. It's a, quote, simple setup and offers unmissable immersion, according to the promotional material. Of course, any PC game on Steam with controller support offers the ability to use the PlayStation 5 controller, so this bundle still has a functional use going forward. If you want to use a PlayStation 5 pad on the PC, that option will still be available to you despite yesterday's news that they won't be coming, that PlayStation first party single player titles will no longer be coming to PC anymore.
Yeah, look, these are things that were already clearly in the pipeline. Because the same goes for the speakers as well, right? You know, they've had these ideas moving forward. There was, you know, these cool speakers, like desktop speakers. There was a monitor that they were sort of working with. You know, there's
that
a couple...
That monitor exists, it's just not in Australia.
Yeah, exactly, right? Like, there's like, they were actively... Okay, let me try this again. For whatever reason, we as a collective populace society have really got to a point where we're like, no one can fucking change their mind. No one can learn from mistakes. It's either you did it then and you fucked it, or you did it and you did a good job. Because it is like, it's fully reasonable for them to be like, hey, we went all into PC, didn't see the return. Let's bounce out. You know what I mean? Like, that is absolutely fucking fair. You know, it's the same as like...
The other side of that coin is we saw enough of a return to warrant building and R&Ding all these desktop items.
Because they went all in. It, very similar to that, the games as a service, right? I'd much rather them have tried and not done anything. You know, tried and not worked, then not tried at all. Where here, they went, okay, at least to their credit, they went, let's give PC the respect. That's actually make some custom shit to try to incentivize them outside of just the games are coming a year from now. You got to reward that. You got to applaud that. Was it the right decision? Probably not. For someone like yourself, Max, who does game at their desk, because that doesn't go anywhere. People do game at their desks, and integrating PlayStation into their game, into their more desktop console experience is ideal. And I think as we were discussing last week, with Microsoft and Steam's future plans with the Valve Box, etc., or Steam Box, whatever it's being called, that like the lounge room is no longer just the PlayStation / Xbox, but predominantly PlayStation, as we've learned over the last couple of years. That is their domain, right? That is their house. That is about to change with the introduction of these consoles that have PC storefront accessibility. I think that's a big part of it too. Because PC by design is, you know, ubiquitous, so they could create peripherals, etc., that are ubiquitous that can kind of be used in that space, and it doesn't feel like they're stepping on Steam's toes or anything, or any of the PC shop fronts. But if you went to that lounge room, that's their fucking territory, is what I'm thinking. Is a dedicated PC controller needed? No, because as I said, you just fucking plug any other controller in. What does it matter?
Yeah.
What's your thoughts, Max?
It is a weird time to start pushing it.
Right? Well, yeah, I guess very similar to the Wolverine date. I think it's just badly timed.
Timing is just, but other than like you said, you know, if a person prefers the feel of a DualSense over a Microsoft Xbox controller, then sure, just plug it in. It is cheaper than a DualSense anyway.
Yep.
So, like, why not? I wonder if it's because they're like, you know, it comes with a cable. From memory, they all come with cables, right?
No.
Don't they?
The last ones haven't. Because how many controllers do I have in this house? I should have abundance of USB-C cables. But I spend most of my time trying to hunt down fucking USB-C cables.
I do have an abundance of USB-C cables, but I'm probably guessing they're all from mobile phones, not
controllers. Like the first couple did, but like the God of War one didn't, the Yotai one didn't, Death Stranding one didn't, Astrobot didn't.
Yeah, the Astrobot didn't, did it?
No. So I guess that is a selling point, I suppose, apparently.
But yeah.
You know, it's fucking shrinkflation. They took away something, then they're requesting applause because they put it back in.
Well, shrinkflation cost me my phone charger when Mum was staying. She got a new phone, and because iPhones are now USB-C, she's like, I don't have a USB-C to USB-C like charger. And I'm like, well, you can borrow mine while you stay here. And then she fucking stole it on her way
out.
What
a bitch. What a bitch.
I go, and she leaves, and I'm like, where's my phone charger? I ring her that night. She's like, oh, I've got it. I thought it was mine. I'm like, phones don't come with chargers anymore. How dare you?
And you knew that. You knew that, Mum. Trying to hustle me. Yeah. It's weird. Also, we discussed that many moons ago. Because I remember there's reports again running around about the dynamic pricing.
Yeah, it's still happening, apparently.
Yeah, I hate it. I hate dynamic pricing. I don't need to say any more about it. It fucking sucks. It's stupid. It's stupid across the board, everywhere, everything. You pay one price, and that one price is universal. This is just fucking classist in a different way. It's bullshit. But then again, I'm also that like fucking black and white autistic that I don't barter. Because if I don't think it's worth that price, get fucked. I'll go find it at the price that I wanted at.
As someone who's worked in sales before, I definitely love the art of the deal.
No, I don't give a shit. It's why I hate Marketplace so hard. Like, I've got some things I wouldn't mind. Like, I've got my old record player. I'm like, oh, I could get probably like $100 for that. I could flip that. But I don't want to deal with it. I just don't want to deal with people. Because everyone sucks.
You just got to play the game. If you want $100 for it, you put $150 on it. They think they're getting a bargain by offering you $100, and you get exactly what you wanted anyway.
True. Or I could just say, give me $100. And they're like, no. I'm like, well, then fuck off then.
But they would have given you $100 if they thought it was originally $150 because they're
saving
money.
That just shows that they are stupid.
Exactly. That's why you have to play their game.
I don't like the regular people, Max.
I know everyone says don't go down to their level and beat them at their own game, but that's what you have to do with Facebook Marketplace. That's why you go, I want $100. I will ask for $150. And they will think they're getting $50 off. They will think they've won, but they haven't. You won because you got exactly what you wanted.
I hate it. It's more of that shit that I just don't understand. Just say what you fucking mean, and it's as simple as that. You don't got to fuck around. Stop. Why is everyone trying to get over on one another? Just be fucking honest and open. I think it's worth $100. I don't. Cool. Bye.
Some people won't pay full price for an item. They have to wait for it to go on sale.
It's because they're fucking idiots.
They're tight asses.
Well, no, like, look, yes, right? But they are the reason that shit's really fucking expensive. Then they drop the price slightly and then it goes, oh, it's still a bargain. Like, no, it's not. It's been shit this entire time.
You got a girl my fat shit. So I can...
All right, well, here are some games that are coming out. Oh, those quick bits first. Fuck, I was going to make a transition about quick bits. But, like, here's some games that are coming out, but fucked if we know what price they are. Quick bits.
$125 in Australia. Woo-hoo. How much they are.
Quick bits. Modi, Magdi, Thrud, and Gna have all been cast now for the God of War Amazon TV series. Fucking dope. New gameplay trailer for Saros has dropped. Did you watch it, or are you blackout?
I haven't yet. I'm already in.
Ubisoft confirms Blackfag. What? Black? Whoa. Whoa. Whoa.
We may not be back next week.
Fuck.
We may have just got
sharp turn by Ubisoft. They really took the wrong lessons from Shadows. They're like, you don't want a black, you're a black main character? Guess fucking what? Try that again. Ubisoft confirms Black Flag remake in a big press release. They also give updates on Hex. They did a big went, hey, here's everything. I got a big email about it. I saw like 18. It was like about 8 different logos. I'm like, oh, the fuck is all of this? Left it there. NetEase has pulled funding for the Yakuza creator's new title, Gang of Dragon.
That studio is just like lost all its funding now.
Yeah, they're just like, yeah, apparently need more money. We're not giving you any more money. But the game looks sick. Bummed about that. If you have funding,
yeah, if you've been fully funded, you'll have a game that's coming out this week. coming out Monday, March 10th. Whoa, that's not right.
No, that's...
Today's Monday, March 9th. I'm just... Let's go Tuesday. Tuesday, March 10th. Ghost of Yokai Legends.
It's a live doc. Let me fix it. I can't fix it.
He's coming up with a free update for PlayStation 5. Thursday, March... Thursday, March 11th. No? Am I completely fucked? Yes, I have. No, Wednesday.
Thursday the 12th.
I just did Monday wrong. Well, fuck me, I guess. Wednesday, March 11th. One Cat Line is coming to PS5, PS4. On Thursday, March 12th, we get 1348 Ex Voto coming to PS5. I played that on the Steam Next Fest demo. Pretty cool. Bubblegum Galaxy, PS5, PS4, Collector's Cove, PS5, Fatal Frame 2, Crimson Butterfly Remake, PS5. There's a demo live for that right now. John Carpenter's Toxic Commando, PS5.
I'm glad that game's finally coming out. I'm so fucking seeing it in show. I'm sick of seeing it in showcases.
Roadout, PS5, and Stellar Wanderer, PS5. And lastly, Friday, March 13th, we're getting Monster Hunter Stories 3, Twisted Reflection, and WWE 2K26. But I believe it also
it's
comes
the
out
standard edition. Yeah, it's sort of the older fancy ones are already out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Substantially cheaper version. I feel like fucking... I thought Monster Hunters was out already. That embargo dropped way early. They are very fucking keen. Very keen. But is there anything interesting new there, Max? Or are we still playing with the games we already got?
It's obviously Ghost of Yotai Legends coming out in like 2 days for me. There's nothing on this month until Crimson Desert, which is the 21st.
Are you willing to take Phoebe on board with you and let her join the Legends? Sweet.
There's room in my backpack.
Just carry her. Sounds good.
Former host Paul James once said, I will be the only player without a platinum trophy. And and that allows me to have room in my backpack for everyone because I don't have useless fucking trophies in there.
All right. Well, let's wrap this bitch up because, Max, I'm sure you have to go to work. Big thank you to everyone for joining us once again. 429 whole episodes. That's for goddamn.
And one
ridiculous.
Freudian slip later.
And one. Look, that might be it. After my accidental actually slur and hate crime, there may not be an episode 430. Oh, it's been a pleasure.
Well, this PlayStation conversation currently happens on Tuesday mornings at 8 a.m. and 8 a.m. on podcast services and 9 a.m. on those YouTubes, but we'll see what happens next week. If you want to make sure that happens, come check out our socials, Facebook, Discord, Instagram, X. Those links can be found in the description below.
If you want to join the conversation as it happens, head over to twitch.tv/popculture to watch this show live, where you can jump in the chat and become part of the show. If you want to support the show, you can tell your friends, tell your family about this PlayStation Pod. If you are listening to us on podcast services, be sure to give us a 5-star rating and a written review. Watch us on YouTube, be sure to like, subscribe, or comment below. I endeavor to answer every single comment. And if you want to support us financially, patreon.com/thepopculturists. But until next week, I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Max Cooper.
And that was For the Players. Just dropping my can over here and making a whole bunch of fucking ruckus.